Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And guess who we've got, Ellie?
Who?
A loose woman.
Wow!
It's Andrew McLean!
Oh, for a minute I thought you were going to say it's one of the Nolans, but she'll do. I was hoping for either her or a Nolan, so... So, you know, we're halfway there.
Do you know that is my middle name? Andrea She'll Do McLean. So that's great. That's great.
I'm the right sixth home. Nolan. Yeah. Welcome to the
Thank
podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We're so thrilled. And it's very exciting because this is about the time Loose Women goes on the telly. Mm. You're at my house.
I'm at your house. I'm sitting on your sofa. I'm drinking coffee out of your mug that has hedgehogs on.
Yes. It's very... And I've bought very fancy flapjacks
you
for
have.
You. I've paid the difference and I've got, yeah, anyway, it's I'm painting a lovely picture. So let's get you to introduce yourself because okay. I could just like read something off Wikipedia, but it's nice okay. that you say it.
Yes, oh you read word. It off Wikipedia. Who are you, Andrea McLean?
Who am I? Well, I'm Andrea She'll Do McLean. And actually, that is how I've survived my career. It's pretty much
I'll
like
do
that.
It.
Is you know?
Is that also how you ended up married? Is that...
No, that's He'll Do.
Oh, we've all been there. We've all done it.
Literally, every job I've gone for, I actually haven't gotten, but they've kept me on while they look for someone else. And then they haven't found anyone else, so they've kept me on, and She'll Do.
Oh my
and
God.
And 23 years later, I'm still doing what I'm doing,
you
purely
must be
for that.
Quite good, though.
I'm
Come
very
on.
Cheap.
All right. Cheap and available.
That's cheap and available.
The IKEA of television presenters.
Yes.
Good for you.
Available in Croydon.
You think you've hired me just for one aisle, then you get lost.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
find years yeah. later, still there.
Yeah, but you fit in a small space. Yes. You're very reasonably priced.
Yes.
And easy to replace when the time comes.
You have got it. That's exactly it. Exactly it.
It's best to flatter the guests, I think.
Yes.
You've done many things. So when did the whole telly start? You're a weather girl? This is what I've...
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
You've done your homework.
I know. I spent at least 5 minutes Googling you.
I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate that.
She says that. She doesn't even know if she means weather girl as in it's going to be sunny today or from the popular band The Weather Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Who sang It's Raining Men.
Yeah.
Which was it, Andrea?
Well, if one of them had dropped out, they'd have said, She'll Do It.
Arifa's busy.
Yeah.
Call Andrea McLean.
Exactly, exactly. No, I didn't mean to get into telly. I fell into it. Almost literally. I went backpacking for a year, wrote loads of stuff about it, started publishing it. But for very little, for the IKEA of publishing, that
Excellent.
Was me.
Yeah.
And then I wanted an actual job. So I came to London to do a postgrad course in journalism. Slept on floors, lived in a bedsit, worked for free, did all the stuff that you do, and then misread a job advert and ended up applying for a weather girl. I thought it was hilarious.
Did you think it was
thing.
The weather girls? You're like, it's raining men! What?
Clearly reading wasn't a strong point. You're supposed to be a journalist. But I turned up and I thought, well, do you know what? This is really interesting. I can just write about it. And in the end, clearly I didn't get that job. But I got on really well with the people who interviewed me and they sort of kept me on file. So 2 years later, I was working. I was a writer, a sub, and then I got promoted to be features editor of where I was working. So they rang me and said, hey, this lady has recommended you. Do you want to come in? And I happened to have the day off because I'd booked another job interview that day. And I really messed up the proper job interview. I went along for the weather interview and I got that one. And I remember coming home thinking, I've got the wrong job. It's not how it's supposed to be. And I did.
You don't even care about fog. Never had an interest in it.
I grew to love it. And then I got made redundant, which wasn't so great. But then I heard through the sort of weather grapevine that there was a job going on GMTV. And so I sent a photo in of myself to GMTV. GMTV was before GMB. Actually, it was Daybreak was before GMB. It's the same breakfast time. Anyway,
we remember TVAM. Yeah, you're talking exactly, to old people. Exactly. It's fine. It's all fine.
It was then. And apparently, my photo, I looked exactly like the then editor's girlfriend. And his secretary opened the letter and went, oh my God, that's hilarious. She looks just like her. So they got me in just to see if I looked as much like her in real life.
Wow.
Amazing.
And
that's weird. I didn't know this. And I turned up thinking, this is amazing. I'm going to be on GMTV. And while I was there, they were laughing at me. And I didn't really know why, but laughing along like you do. And he said, well, while you're here, you might as well audition. I didn't get the job. They gave it to this really gorgeous young man. He was like a model. And they asked me to train him. So not only, this biggest insult, not only did I not get the job,
TV's
but can you
awesome.
Train the guy who's got the job instead? So I did. And kind of helped him out because I was unemployed. And he didn't last very long because it's actually a bit harder than it looks.
Yeah.
And so then they got me back in to do it while they looked for someone else. And I just kept really quiet. And I was there for 11 years.
What a story.
So true, the She'll Do was literally how it all started. And it was the days of Mr. Motivator and we would travel around the country and we had so much fun. But you felt like kids playing. Mm. You didn't really think about people, what people thought at home, whether they liked it or not. You just did it and had a real laugh.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Just get on with it. Hope it's all right. This will do.
What a lot of people don't realise as well is although it was shown on ITV, GMTV actually owned its own airtime. It was this random thing that had happened years ago in terms it would never happen again. So actually we owned our own space. So we could do anything we wanted and ITV didn't have a say in it, if that makes sense. So literally I could go to the boss and go, I've had this crazy idea, what do you think about that? And he was this really gruff northerner, he'd be like, well, as long as you don't make it too shit, it'll be alright.
And he'd it's a good rule for life.
He'd That's let you try say. things, he'd let you have a go. So it was a bit like GMTV was like the podcasting of its time. So loads of people came up through the ranks at GMTV.
So then how did you get into Loose Women?
Well, Loose Women, we were on the third floor of ITV Towers. And Loose Women was filmed on the ground floor and someone was going on maternity leave and they needed someone who could fill in. And I was in the same building and I finished GMTV at 8:30 and the morning meeting starts at 8:45 for Loose Women. So they thought, well, she's in the building. She'll do.
She'll do.
So I fit it in.
Did you get her to do that?
This is amazing.
Get her to clean the loos as well when she's done.
Pretty much.
That's right, turn the lights off when
Pretty
you're out.
Pretty much. And I knew the editor because she had also used to work at GMTV and I'd known her through other things. And my name had come up. She said, why don't you get Andrew in?
Oh, amazing.
And I've been there also 11 years.
That is a long pregnancy, whoever that was.
They've come back and it's all good.
Is it quite, because it looks like quite an intense programme to work on, because you've got all these really strong personalities and opinions and then you've got famous people on. We know most of them are dreadful. So, like, is it quite intense, that experience?
It can be, yeah. I mean, I'm really used to it now. My first few months of being there, I cried every day on the way home because it was so intense and so different to anything. Because I'd gone from this kind of...
You're not just pointing at pictures of clouds.
No.
You're having a row with Jane McDonald's. I mean, it's a living nightmare.
Oh, nobody rows with Jane McDonald. Well, she's amazing. And she lives in Jane's world. That's what we always used to say. Jane's world. And we would say this to her face, so I'm not saying anything. She hasn't. And she's doing amazingly at the moment, and we're really, really proud of her. She's even won a BAFTA, which is fantastic.
Well, I mean, that's one more BAFTA than any of us.
Yep. but yeah, it was really hard at first because when I started doing it, I had just had my second child and I went back to work after 12 weeks. And on my first day back, I got the call saying, you're back. Loose Women would really love you to give it a go. And so obviously you say yes because it's such a great opportunity. But literally I was doing a night feed, leaving, so that's at 3:30 in the morning, leaving the house at sort of 4:00, getting into work, doing a full shift, and then starting again and doing another live show, and then coming back to a baby. I was so tired and sleep deprived and juggling two jobs and child, and we just moved house. And my mum had had this horrible fall and had broken her shoulder. She was living with us at the time, and we were all trying to help each other. It was a really stressful, intense time, so there was a lot of crying. But then once I kind of came out the other side of that, and I thought, actually, I really like this. I can do it now. Now I'm kind of bedded in. And then I grew to really love it. So it is really intense. But because I've been there so long, I'm the longest serving person then now.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh.
So you're basically institutionalised is what we're saying.
It's Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah. You know, when I say that I love it, I have no idea whether I love it or not. I just say what my masters tell me to say.
Yeah.
But the difference is now it's intense. I see it for what it is rather than getting too embroiled in it, and I can step back a little bit. So one of the biggest sort of learning curves I had from from New Swimming was, say when you're with your group of friends, you kind of hang out with people you agree with, and then you all say how great you are, and you know, you'll say something, you go, yeah, that's right, yeah, oh my god, why can't everyone be like us? Then you go on New Swimming and you're surrounded by people who go, well, that's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. And there's a bit of you goes, but all my friends think I'm right. How can you say that? And I've got so used to it now that I see how healthy that is. That actually, we are all proper mates. We've all got to know each other really, really well. And we're genuinely a band of sisters. But we can call each other out anytime and go, I'm sorry, you're talking complete nonsense. That doesn't make any sense at all. But anyway, do you want another margarita?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. It genuinely doesn't matter. And that's what Loose Women has sort of taught me. And all the Barneys that you see on air, they're real. People are genuinely getting het up about it. And sometimes they carry on into the break. You know, because I'm hosting, I've got producers in my ear and I'm sorting stuff out for, you know, the next part. And I can see them and they're still going at it, going at it. And then, you know, I'll go, come on, guys, we've got 20 seconds, we're back on. And they'll go, that was really good. And then that's it, it's forgotten.
It's never like when
forgotten.
The cameras are off at the end of the show, come on, does anyone ever just storm off in a huff, into their car, back to
into their tinted windows limo?
Yes,
because that's shades what everyone on. Thinks we have. Throwing the faux fur over our shoulders
like a team of six makeup artists
exactly.
behind you.
Yeah. fussing
one for each nail,
that's it. No, that doesn't happen. No.
Oh, but like, so I mean, for those of you who don't know what Loose Women is, because we do have international guests. My mum listens, for example, in Australia.
Wow, hello your mum.
Yeah, hey.
What's your mum's name?
Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah, she'll love that. Thank you. She doesn't know who you are.
Oh, you're coming here.
But Lee, she's very nice, very famous in Britain. She's very famous here in Britain. Very big deal. She's basically the sort of, I don't know, who can she relate to? She's the Kylie Minogue of England.
That's right.
Just say that.
Yeah, you say that. Yeah. You say that.
She needs
don't
a cultural
ever show her a
point.
Picture, but say that.
Have you ever met the royals?
Yes.
She's met the royals, Lee. So you know
them.
She's good people. Yeah. She loves the
really?
Royals.
Really? Yeah. I love the royals, actually.
Anyway, moving on.
Oh, it's just like Loose Women.
It is.
Brilliant.
It is,
why don't you like them?
Oh, because, you know, I don't know, really. It's nothing personal. It's just the fact that they're fucking unelected monarchs paid for by the state, sponging off the state. At our expense, and what do we get? We get to
lovely
not go to their fucking
hello.
Wedding.
Lovely pictures what? And hello.
Lovely pictures, don't
we
buy
get
hello.
Mugs, we get tea towels.
Which we pay for. They've just put the Queen's money up, £5 million a year.
Yeah.
And we haven't got a library. Love the royals.
But they're so pretty.
Bloody lovely.
They're so pretty.
Oh, the wedding was lovely. Love Meghan, and I can't wait for the baby. Charles' 70th picture with holding the new one.
Which wife is he with? Was he with his new wife or the one he cheated on the night before he married her when she was 19? Which one?
The new one.
Lol. Yes. Yes. Come the revolution.
I'm so glad I asked.
Yeah. I mean, you
I'm
asked, Andrea.
Lee, that was for you.
Yeah. You're welcome, Mum. Yeah. I was asking about loose women to describe. I mean, I think we just did it
it's like that.
By example, didn't
we? It's exactly like that.
Exactly. So, how many? You've got five.
Oh, they don't get quite as cross.
That's your audition sorted, Ellie. She'll get this woman in. She's really awesome.
Right. Next up, Brexit. Obviously, it's horseshit. What's your point? There you are.
To play music.
Oh my god, Alexa!
Alexa's chipping in.
Alexa wants to be on Loose Women. All right. Alexa, what do you think about Brexit?
That was a decision for the voters.
Gross and balls! God, it's like being haunted. I don't like it.
Do you want me to unplug her?
No, she's... Fuck it, it's a laugh, isn't it?
All right.
Go in the outtake.
Yeah,
be nice.
Okay, good. Lovely.
Let's just jump straight back into the running order, which Helen has very carefully researched. Yeah. It says, can we please talk about meeting Oprah? Please can we talk about that? She is royalty.
Oh. Yeah.
She is a national treasure.
I agree with you.
Yes, how was it? You. I hear she's got an aura.
Yes.
Yeah, a magical aura.
I couldn't sleep the night before. I was so nervous because obviously I'm interviewing Oprah. And if you mess up interviewing the best interviewer in the universe, you might as well just go home, lay in a box, get buried in the back garden and maybe blown up.
Because No pressure. Oprah. I mean, I had that exact thought about 12 hours ago.
None of us slept. We're all high.
It's just sugar and cocaine. So scary. And it went all right, but it was very surreal because she kind of sits in and then...
She's floating?
It's like she bestows you with her presence.
Mm.
And when you're talking, she really listens.
Yeah.
And then your brain goes, I don't know what I'm saying. And then I asked her a question and she went, that's a really good question. I went, I think it was like, how long are you in England?
Something like that.
What's your favourite colour?
Yeah. How old
are
you?
Oh my god, I like blue too! It was a bit like that. It wasn't the best interview in the whole wide world because we were so... But she catered for us really well. She's like the Queen. Don't hate her for that. But she's like the Queen and the whole world must smell of fresh paint and sweaty people because we were also wow.
Yeah.
And then literally she floated off, thank you very much Oprah Winfrey, and you still can't believe you've actually said those words, and she went off. So it's during the break, so by the time we finished the show she'd long gone, so we only saw her for the 8 minutes that everyone else saw.
Well, she was like, I'm not going to sit here in this break and listen to these bitches row about Brexit. I'm off.
I think that was what she was last heard saying. Yeah, she left.
Oh. Have I want to get her on.
Oh, sorry, I just had that weird thing in my throat and now it's weird. Okay.
That's all right.
Have a cough.
Thank you. You're so professional.
She's got all the techniques.
She's amazing.
Turn the Alexa off, have a cough. That's what they teach you in presenter school. That's what they teach you at the Loose Women Academy.
I've been touched.
Loose Academy.
Are there any other guests that have really stuck with you, or you had the similar kind of like pee your pants?
Michael Bublé.
I've interviewed
Michael Bublé three times now, and the first time, can I tell that story? Yeah, he's nodding. Yeah, I'm not actually looking at Michael Bublé asking this question.
He's
it's
in
my
the room.
Husband Nick, who's in the room.
Michael Bublé just pops to the shops to get some fags. Back in a minute.
He sadly couldn't be here for this bit of the chat.
No.
When I first interviewed Michael Bublé, it was quite a few years ago, and Loose Women, we used to do three live and two pre-recorded just because of studio time and that sort of thing. So luckily this was on the pre-recorded show. And so he came in and we're all like, oh, God, Michael Bublé, it's really exciting.
I mean, he's no Oprah, but still, it's Michael Bublé.
And he's like the Oprah music, you know, he's just great. And so he came in and he is the most cheerful person that you could ever meet. And what's brilliant about him is he says hi to the whole room. He doesn't just kind of float in, plug whatever, and then leave. He chats to any and everybody and he's genuinely really nice. And so he came in, sat down, so, you know, how's it going, Michael? How's your new album, your new single? And you're on tour at the moment, and how's that going? And I said to him, you know, you've been all around the world, you've been to these incredible countries, but do you actually get to see them at all? Because you're so famous. Can you actually leave your hotel and go sightseeing or anything like that? And so what do you do when you're in Tokyo or wherever? And he said, well,
Normally what I do is I pour myself a glass of whiskey in the hotel room and then I watch porn and I wank.
Yes!
And we all just went...
And I'm having a wank in London, Paris and Rome.
It's time to go home.
I've got a big bone.
So we had to go, you can't say that. So we had to stop the recording. We were howling, literally howling.
God. Oh, my God.
And he was hilarious. So he went, ask me the question again. Ask me the question again. Yeah. So we kind of went, stop, you know, da-da-da. Right, get ready. Rolling again. So Michael asked the same question, so what do you do? And he looked me straight in the eye and he went, mainly I just read.
Oh my God. I'm dead, I'm dying. Oh,
but he's lovely.
I love him.
I love him so much. Nice.
I've always loved him.
He's
so,
my favourite.
There we are, so we've sorted that out. Yes. Oprah and Michael Bublé for King and Queen of England. Come the revolution.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah.
They'll do.
Yeah, they'll do.
Oh God, on tour.
I might make it to Duchess if somebody else can't quite make it.
Yeah, you'll do. You'll do.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tell you what, should we change it up? Should we have some family chat?
That's a great idea, Ellie. Now, Andrea, tell us about your family. Who's in it?
They're horrible. That's why I work so hard.
Yes, I understand.
I just need to stay out the house.
Yep. Go on tour like we do. Just leave.
I literally do night shifts stacking shelves just to get out the house.
We feel your pain.
Yeah.
So you've got children then?
Okay, so we are a blended family, mm-hmm. as I think is the modern term. Mm-hmm. So my lovely husband, Nick, who's sitting over there.
That's why she's being nice about him.
Yeah.
No, he's actually really nice.
Oh, that's good.
I would genuinely... Yeah. I wear this collar.
Yeah.
No, he's genuinely really lovely. So I have... My children are Finley, who's 17, Amy, who is 12, and Nick's daughters are Tia Lily, who's 16, and Sienna, who's 13.
That's a lot of teenagers.
That is a lot of teenagers.
And now, estrogen.
Yes. Mm.
Now, we haven't got to the teenage bit. Your oldest is 10.
She's 10. She's on the brink, though. Mm. I'm feeling it. Mm. I'm feeling ill. Yeah. There's a lot of emotions. Mm.
Mm. So what advice have you got for us as parents approaching, event horizon, I suppose would be the term.
Yeah.
Get as many jobs as you can so you're not at home much.
Just don't get at home.
Just leave.
It works.
Be busy.
Yeah, be really busy. Oh, gosh. Do you know what? The whole thing about parental advice is nonsense to a point because all children are different. And everybody, you know, if you're lucky enough that you or your parents have one child and that one child is really good, you think you're awesome and you've done it really brilliantly and everyone else is clearly just not as great a mother as you are. Whereas actually you've been really fortunate that you have a child who is good. Mm. Not everybody is fortunate enough to have a child who does what you said. Yeah. And also they do it in... one thing that works for one doesn't work for the other one, and then now there's four. What works for one definitely doesn't work for the other, and no idea what to do with that one, and what do you do with that one? You just have to make it up. Yeah. Is my absolute parental advice, is you make it up. Because like, for example, Finley, he hates being told off. He's very like me. I don't like being told off. So I would rather just do it right first time and then it's all cool. We don't have to. Amy, not really that bothered about being told off. Yeah. Kind of goes over her head a little bit. And it, you have to find different ways to get her to, is comply too aggressive, passive aggressive a word for parenting? But, you know, kind of
conform.
Conform, yes. Exactly. So you have to kind of find different ways.
So it's a bit like where we're at the moment, because I feel like...
Nothing changes.
Yeah.
They just get bigger.
Yeah. Smellier.
The smell.
Do you just like going with like room spray all the time? Just
Sometimes I literally gag. I go into Finley's room and I open the windows and I say to him, Finley, it smells like a mixture of a farm, and I'm getting farm, I'm getting socks. It's I'm glad I'm not a perfumier, because then I'd have a really, really sensitive nose.
Yeah, you'd be just vomiting all over the place.
It smells like ferrets in his room.
Nice. Yeah. Ellie's got two boys, so you've got that to look forward to.
I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait. How do you manage the thing of then them sort of having their sort of emerging sort of freedom? Because obviously our kids are so little, they don't have a choice about whether they go out all night or what time they come in, or, you know, because they don't currently know what heroin is, as far as we're aware. I mean, who knows? But so how do you... I'm worried about that, how I cope with...
Taser.
Yeah. I've got a few of those knocking around, so that's fine.
Is it scary the first time that you go, come back in?
Yeah, it really, really is. Mm. And also as well, because Finn's a boy, and this sounds really strange, but I almost worry about him more, because he's a big boy, he's tall, and he's very kind and lovely, and a sweet guy. And I worry that people will look at him and go, do you know what, he's easy picking, because he's clearly not going to fight back.
Yeah.
And you kind of worry that that sort of thing might happen. But I don't know, what do? You can't teach them to be a bruiser if they're not a bruiser. And also you don't want them to be a bruiser, because then they might start something. And I just have to sort of let them go. And I text a lot, don't I? The other night we were out and he was out as well. So I'm panicking. Is he all right? What's he doing? And I was in the car on our way to where we were going with Nick, and he was like, leave him alone. He's out. Stop. You cannot be the mum that keeps ringing. Can I text him?
We'll
text him.
Girl.
Be all right. He was out with a girl. I know. Oh. You do not want to be the mum of the boy. And then his mum, and I was like, I don't care. So in the end, I just texted him. Hi. I had to pretend. Yeah. We're out now. Just realised, forgot to check. You've got your key. And then I ended it with a Nana and Grandad who live around the corner. They're in, so don't worry. And hope you're okay. And let me know if you're on the train. And I still went into the whole thing. I was like, Mum, I'm fine. Okay. It's hard.
Yeah. I guess another question, because I know we were all sort of a bit fearful of teenagers, because we have been teenagers not that long ago. But what do you love about having teenagers? Because I think it's always a bit quite negative about these sort of years, because it is it all sex and drugs and Instagram and all the scary things. But are there things that you really love about them now that they're a bit bigger?
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right, actually, in that it's really easy just to slag off teenagers because, you know, they smell and they're annoying. So that's what's to like about that. But in terms of them growing into human beings, it's as an adult human beings in their own right, rather than just being your kids, it is really fascinating. And that it's really interesting just hearing what they're really into, even if it's not anything. Like, Finley loves horror movies and I can't bear them. But
he like, Mum, I'm really, really into reading. I'm just going to go to my room and do some reading.
No, he's into really long baths.
Okay, right.
Really long baths.
Yeah, I see.
But just, I mean, it's difficult when they're younger. Like, Amy's just turned 12 and you don't have those same levels of conversation with them yet. At the moment, it's still just, have you done your homework? Have you tidied your room? Get off Instagram. Not Instagram, but she's on Snapchat, you know, with her friends and everything else. We haven't got to that point yet. But I did say to her the other day, we've just started having chats about, you know, bodies changing and all this sort of thing. And I said to her, do you know, you're entering a really exciting time, because now we're going to have so much in common. Because before, we've not. I'm a lady and you're a little girl, and now you're growing into a woman. Actually, we're going to have loads to talk about, and I'm really looking forward to this. And she looked quite excited, like, oh, what's going to happen? Little does she know, you know, downhill from now. But, you know, so no, it's good. Yeah. It is good.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I feel better.
Oh, excellent. Well, what should we talk about now, Helen Thorne?
My favourite topic, Ellie. Menopause!
Oh, yay! Yes!
So thank you for coming and talking about it, because you've got your own website. You're part of a movement, man.
I am part of a movement. And it, I mean, the website came about because of the book. The book came about because Linda Robson, Nanny Linda, outed me on national TV for having to have a hysterectomy.
How did she drop that into conversation?
Well, because I wasn't going to mention it. And then she went, sweetheart, you've got to say something. They'll think you've been fired. Oh, you're so right. So that's kind of going backwards. And then it sort of ended with the website, which is thisgirlisonfire.co.uk. And I'm so passionate about it. And the name came about because we wanted something that sort of reflected the sort of movement, if you like. So we wanted something that showed... Obviously, we're on fire because you're sweating all the time. But also, you're on fire because
we'll have to change the cushion covers after she's been here.
I know. I do apologise. Oh, I do apologise. It's the synthetic fibres.
Damn.
and just sitting next to her, it's like sitting next to the Ready Breck man. Radiating.
I get that a lot.
I've got a suntan on one side.
Alexa, turn the heating down.
Please. But we wanted something to sort of reflect that you can be on fire in all sorts of different ways. Mm. So the whole ethos of This Girl Is On Fire is that you are not invisible. You are halfway through. You are not halfway done. And I think that women, when they kind of enter this sort of time of their life, it's really, really hard, you know, because you have kids. A lot of women entering the menopause actually have kids who are a lot younger than maybe their mums had. Normally the kids have left home by them, and you're dealing with the menopause on your own. Now you're dealing with kids, whether it's teenagers or younger. You've got elderly parents, you're dealing with that side of things as well. Plus, normally you're trying to hold down a job. It's really difficult. So for me, the whole thing about the website was to deal with all of those things with humour, first of all, because if you cannot laugh at this, what the hell can you laugh at?
Fucking hell.
Because it is so hard, you know. But also to sort of turn the frown upside down sounds really kind of American and not great. But that's kind of what it's about. Yes, okay, it's hard, but what are you going to do about it? What can you do about it? So turn it on its head and sort of relight your fire again in terms of give it a go. Give anything a go. You know, like what you guys you're doing. You're going out there. You're standing on stage. You're being hilarious. You're giving it a go. I think too many of us think, oh, no, I couldn't possibly. You know, Nick got me this quote. I kept saying, oh, no, I can't. What if I fail? What if I can't do it? And it's, what if I fail? Oh, my darling, but what if you fly?
Yeah. But I always think, if that was about jumping off a cliff, well, you'd be dead. So, I don't really...
She's not going to do that.
I mean, that's the worst consequence.
Well, clearly, it depends on what it is you're trying to do.
Maybe I'm taking it too literally. Maybe, I'm open to that possibility.
Exactly. Maybe it's, what if I fail rather than what if I fall? What if I fall? What if I fall? What if I fly? You see, I paid a lot of attention to that quote. Yeah.
But where have you put it? In the back of the shed?
Yes. Yeah.
That's lovely. Thank you very much. I'll remember it and treasure it always.
I love it. But do you know what I mean? It's that kind of ethos. And I think, because, you know, I joke about it, but I've had some really bumpy times in my life. I've had some very dark times in my life. And I've literally scraped along the floor. And things have been really quite, can I say shitty? They've been really not great.
Yeah.
You can say cunty if it makes you happy.
Do you know, I need a drink before I can say
Before she goes cunty.
Alexa, get the whiskey. Take it off Michael Bublé. Just knock on the door before you go in.
Yeah, still he's very loudly.
He's doing some really hard reading.
Cough three times.
Yeah, it's like having a teenage son. You knock and you wait. You not burst straight in.
Nobody wants that.
Don't burst in on the Bublé bubbling over. Nobody wants that.
But so for me, I know what it's like for things to go horribly wrong, and that's not just in one bit of life, whether it's work or what have you. I mean, it's touched me in every way, and I don't mean that in a Michael Bublé way.
Would that it was.
So for me, the there comes a point where you literally do have to sit up from lying on the floor and get up. You have to get up, because otherwise, what are you going to do? You cannot lie on the floor forever. And again, being brutal, shit happens.
Yeah.
And it's awful. And life is unfair. And people don't treat you how they should treat you. Life doesn't treat you how it should treat you. But what are you going to do about it? And yes, have a good bitch and a moan and cry with your friends and drink a lot of wine. I drank a lot of wine. I still drink a lot of wine. But there does come a point where, right, that's happened. You have to keep your momentum moving forwards, because otherwise, what is the alternative?
Mm. Well, this is it. Women have been in the background for, and it's, this is just another thing to kind of, the menopause is another, you know, stick
it's
to beat.
It's just another thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so when, because you, did you know that you, so you had a hysterectomy, you weren't fired.
Yeah.
And then did the menopause come straight away?
Well, I had already started the menopause. It initially had kind of crept in at 37.
Mm.
And then I ended up actually getting pregnant, because that can happen. Be really careful, ladies, because you can have this big rush of hormones, because it's like your body going, oh my God, it's all shutting down. Here, have everything. And that happened. And then I properly started going into it 42. But then for lots of very long, drawn out, and we need wine for this conversation reasons, I had to have a full hysterectomy. So ovaries and everything.
Oh, wow.
So what that means is, it's like your engine's been removed, your tap's been switched off, and you literally free fall off the edge of a cliff hormonally. And it was really hard.
Mm.
And so, again, going through that was just another stick. It's yet another thing you have to deal with. But I always see life as like Flappy Birds. You've got kids. Do you know Flappy Birds?
Yeah.
You have to keep tapping, because otherwise, like that bird, you just like that. And what can you do? You've got kids that need looking after. You've got a mortgage to pay. You've got a life that needs to kind of carry on. You can face plant every now and again, but you have to do a really weak-armed press-up and get yourself up and keep going. And you can do it with humour, and you don't have to do it with cheesiness and that kind of, I don't want to keep saying American, because I love Americans. I love their cheerfulness. I think it's brilliant, but it doesn't sit as comfortably over here. And also, I think wild-eyed optimism is unrealistic.
Yeah.
You can't go through life like Pollyanna thinking everything's going to be awesome, because it isn't awesome.
No.
But what you can be is kind of gritty about it and humorous about it and just freaking do it.
Yeah, and I think because there's been so much shame or embarrassed, like, and it's probably the patriarchy. Let's blame the patriarchy.
Oh, let's blame them. Get out, Nick.
Not enough of looking at you. Have you got a meeting of the patriarchy today?
I'm thrilled that he drove you here. But it's just that sort of thing. Is that it's
hang
icky.
Out with Michael.
Yeah. I mean, hanging out is your word.
Be really careful how you say that.
I don't mind.
Nobody would. Nobody would. Yeah. No, he's
we
for
may
everyone.
Knock and not wait. Sorry, what were you saying?
No, but it's like periods and all those sort of things, those icky things that nobody wants to talk about. There's a shame about.
Yeah.
And the shame about your period ending, like it being, you know, not fertile anymore, and nobody wants to know about a sweaty woman.
No.
Or nobody wants to know about the rage. That's unladylike. And all those sort of, you know, the way that women are portrayed, or the perfect woman. Or that you're growing a massive moustache.
All of it.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting was obviously everyone looks at me, and I look very tidy today because I've, you know, I blow-dried my hair and I put some makeup on, and I look slightly telly-ish because I knew I was coming here.
I mean, yes, we're very high-quality women.
You know what I mean? I've put my best face forward, as it were.
Yeah.
So people are used to seeing me on TV looking very neat and tidy and doing a good job and being very, very kind of head girl and all that sort of thing. So they see me in that sort of way. So when I'm very open about, and ask me anything, I'm very open. So when I was open about the fact that for a good year I had to wear sanitary towels under my armpits because I was sweating so hard on Lusumin, and literally the sweat was running down my back while we were live on air, and during every ad break, literally the poor girls who we've got like a wardrobe team, and they make sure we look neat and tidy, that I was literally whipping out panty liners and they'd give me fresh ones and put them in, and then kind of mop the sweat off my forehead and the back of my neck and everything else, and then carry on. And people at home didn't know that, they just see me looking lovely. So I was really open about it because I thought it was quite funny.
Yeah.
And the response was hilarious, because half the women were going, oh, thank God you're mentioning it, and half the women were going, going, for the love of God, would you shut up? I don't want to hear about this.
Mm.
And what I found, I don't know if you find this. And that's
women
as well.
That wasn't even men. Yeah. Women saying that. Wow.
Is the response is very varied. There are some women who are really open to the idea of speaking openly about everything, whether it is menopause, periods, problems at home, sex, anything. They're really receptive to the idea of people being brutally, brutally honest about the fact that nothing is like it seems in the movies. And other women who just do not want to talk about it. Yeah. And for the women who do not want to talk about it, I fully respect that, because we're all different and we all have our different reasons for, you know, keeping things behind closed doors. And that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, let's just crack on.
Yeah.
Mm. That's how I see it. And yeah. I think if you cannot learn, you guys are the absolute epitome of that. You have to laugh at it. Yeah. What else are you going to do?
Well, that's it. And it sort of breaks down all that kind of, like, the tension and also, yeah, and the shame. Like, there's lots of shame involved in motherhood as well, because you're like, I'm not doing it right. My kids are
totally
always full of nits.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's gross and it's hard and, you know, your marriage isn't always perfect and all those things. Yeah. And we've just decided to just put it all out there. And the response you get from, the people who want to hear that, I guess they're going, oh, thank God, I'm normal. And that's what you want to know, is that
we
you're normal.
We are all normal.
Because otherwise you feel like the swap woman, or you feel like you, it's something grotesque or something to be ashamed of.
But that's what I love about this Girls on Fire, because obviously everybody sees me at work. And this is what I try and explain to people. You go to your bank, if there's any blooming banks open, but you know what I mean. You go to somewhere where there's someone sitting in their office outfit, and they are helping you fill in your form, and they're at work, they're putting on their work face. What I do is exactly the same. Now, the woman who's in the bank or whatever, I don't see her in her dressing gown with cornflakes down the front and shouting at her teenagers and that sort of stuff, but that's her real life. People only see me at my work, but that doesn't mean that's how I am all the time.
Yeah.
So what I love about the website is letting go of all that and giving people almost a peek behind the curtain of, this is what my life is really like. I'm exactly the same. And this is how I explained my job to my kids when they were little and they figured out, somebody told me you're Andrea McLean off the telly. Are you Andrea McLean off the telly? Yes, I am. You're famous. I am. So how I explain it to them is, I just do a job people see. That's literally all it is. It's the same thing. So all I do is I allow people, like I say, a little peek behind the curtain to show we're all the same. We're all just kind of muddling through and getting by.
Yeah. Some of us are going back to our hotel room and wanking over a whiskey. I mean, you know,
all
that's
the same.
All the same.
We are all the same.
In terms of, like, what is there anything you kind of wish that you knew? Like, I'm thinking for anyone who's maybe just started the menopause, or perhaps, I don't know, maybe they're 41, they live in South East London, they've got two kids, and they're, you know, they're aware it's just incoming. Yeah. What's
non-specific answer like that? Something I wish I knew. Two things. I was prepared for the physical sides of the menopause, which is like the sweats and the all that sort of thing. But I wasn't prepared for the mental side of the menopause, apart from maybe the grumpiness, because my mum got really grumpy. And then went on HRT and kind of balanced out again. I think for me, what I wish I knew and what is so important to talk about is the mental side of it. And while we hear of the rage and the grumpiness and all that sort of thing, and I see women all the time now, and I want to go up to them and just squeeze them and go and get some HRT.
Yeah.
Or go to your doctor.
Yeah.
And if HRT doesn't work for you, go to Boots, and there are so many things you can take. You do not need to be this angry all the time. It's okay.
The pills.
Just
patches.
Just do something about it.
Rub the gel on.
And by the way, it's not the rest of the world's fault. It is actually coming from you.
Yeah.
Because there was a woman in the post office the other day, literally screaming at everybody. And I understood what she was going through. I could see it. I could see the sweat trickling down her hairline. She was with a teenager and she hated all of us. All of us. And I literally wanted to go and just go,
honey,
and get some help. Because you don't need to feel like this all the time.
Yeah.
The rage side is something that we're really used to. What we don't hear about is the depression side and the anxiety side.
Yeah.
And for me, the absolutely overwhelming, crushing anxiety is something that took me by surprise. And I'd always experienced that, but I didn't. And that's from when I was young. And it's, you kind of look back retrospectively and think, actually, no, I've always been a bit like this. Mm. And I just thought I wasn't coping well. And actually, the dots start to add up. Actually, this always has been a part of me. But when you go through the menopause, because your hormone levels are changing and your estrogen levels are dropping, you literally crash, and anxiety is a huge part of it. And women, they lose their confidence. This sounds really silly. How many women do we know of a certain age who won't drive anymore? They won't go on motorways. They lose their confidence and they, oh, I can't do that. That's actually a really common side effect of the menopause, that you lose your spatial awareness. You lose your confidence at doing something like driving. It doesn't mean that we're all just mad old women who can't do something anymore. And there's stuff you can do about it. So I think I wish I'd known that sort of thing, that I'm not just going mad. Well, yeah. I am going a bit mad, but actually there's something that I can do about it.
Yeah.
And amazing. Also that when it happens, kind of let it dip. Don't fight it and push it away. Let it dip. I have days, I had one, the last really bad one was about 18 months ago, where I had a panic attack on a train going to work, I was commuting. And I could feel it, and it'd been brewing. I'd felt it coming, brewing and brewing. And I thought, I'm going to throw up. And then you start panicking that you're going to throw up. And I had to get off the train, sit on the side, or not literally on the railway line, because that's illegal. So I waited till I got into a station, and then I just had to go home. And I felt, and I'm supposed to be at work, and I'm letting everyone down, and oh my God, and stop being so weak. And you talk to yourself, you tell yourself all this, and eventually I just thought, no, I can't. Mm. And I went home, went to bed, I slept all day, and woke up and felt a lot better. And just knowing that actually, I'm going to step off for a minute and do this, the whole world didn't cave in. Actually, it's okay. Mm. That was a massive turning point for me, because I've never done that before. I've kept going until I've slammed into the wall and gone, and
then yelled at people in a post office. Yeah.
Even when I said that woman, it was actually me. Yeah. I made that up.
It was insane. Yeah.
But that's a lot of pressure when you're the person who's like, she'll do. What do?
Shit. Oh my God. Our she'll do's gone.
Call the Nolans, all of them. One of them must be available. So This Girl Is On Fire is the name of the website.
Yes.
And you said there's a book and all the things.
All of that. Yeah. All of that. It's all there. It's all on the website. And it's, you know, we kind of see that This Girl Is On Fire website is like a gang. It's like you guys. Come and join the gang. Come and be part of it all. And one of the things we do is we encourage people to send in their own articles. So we ask people, if you have a story to tell, and we all have stories to tell, send it in about 500 words and we put it up on the site.
Where can people follow you on social media?
People can follow us on Instagram. We are at @officialTGIOF. On Facebook at @officialTGIOF, and online we are thisgirlisonfire.co.uk.
Now, we do finish the podcast, yes, Andrea, with a scummy mummy confession. Sometimes we share ours. I'm trying to think.
So yesterday we went to Winter Wonderland and we just were WhatsApping each other. Ellie was at Teletubbies.
Teletubbies live. I've nothing against the Teletubbies personally. They're not the Royals, but like, you know, they
might be.
My God, they could be. This is it. They are incredibly boring. I mean, it's literally gibberish. It's absolutely
whatever
gibberish.
Whatever happened to Princess Michael of Kent? We don't know.
Wow. Tinky Winky.
Yeah.
So I'd taken my littlest son in there. Yeah.
Yeah, and so Ellie was WhatsApping and going, fuck this shit, like with lots of swears.
Yeah.
And I'd left my phone on the table, and my daughter, who's 10, who's excellent at reading, picked up the phone and then read it out to all the boys. And it's like, oh, Ellie said, your mum said that Tinky Winky is fucking shit.
Just to be clear, what I'd actually written is, Tinky Winky is fucking shit at making toast.
Yes.
There's a scene in Teletubbies Lives where Tinky Winky has to make toast in the tubby fucking toaster, whatever it's called, and he can't do it, and it just keeps popping out, and it goes on for about 8.5 hours, and I want it to walk on stage and make the fucking tubby toast.
I'll make
and
the
smash
toast.
It in his face. Yeah.
Andrew, this is where you need to
rubber
and say, HRT.
Yeah. HRT. I am the mum who gets the call from school saying, your daughter is sitting in the hall waiting for you if you would like to come and collect her now. And I'm like, suddenly speak random Japanese. Yeah. Screeching up, and Amy just looks at me.
Oh,
it's
you get
that
the look.
Yeah.
Look that I'm so disappointed. Look, and then you have to do that. the thing with the receptionist who just looks at you like you do again? This all the time.
Yeah,
you. Yeah, I'm that mum.
Nine times.
Oh. I'm that mum. I'm the mum who never hands a form in on time, always gets an email from the school saying, you haven't given permission for Amy for this, or it's... Actually, I can remember once forgetting that, you know, when they have these random dress-up days?
Ah, fuck that.
It was Peru Day.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Peru Day.
Every Thursday.
Yeah.
And I can remember... 100 Paddington.
Yeah. It was Peru. Well, I wish I'd even thought of that. And Finley must have been about 5. And it was maybe 4:45 on a Tuesday. And he went, Mummy, it's... Peru Day tomorrow. What? Uh-huh. What? What the hell? And so I'm Googling Peru. What can I send him in for Peru? I'm thinking panpipes. I'm sure that's Peru. We don't have panpipes.
Nick, get the panpipes.
I'm playing them.
Very busy. And so I ran out and went into a charity shop and I got him a bath rug and cut a hole in it. So amazing. It was a poncho. Oh. And that was what he went in for Peru.
Nice.
That's pretty, I think that's pretty good, man. Good. That's ingenious.
Yeah.
Ingenious.
Excellent.
Oh. Well, there we go. I think that's pretty much it. Helen Thorne?
You have been a complete delight. Thank you, Andrea,
for
coming and being freaked out by my Alexa and sharing your stories of menopause and
buble.
Yes.
It's been amazing.
Oh, I'll never forget that.
Yes. Thank you very much for listening. As always, you can follow us on Instagram at Scummy Mummies. Come and see a live show. Go to scummymummies.com for tickets and details. We're going everywhere in 2019.
And we're going to go to Bonnie Scotland too, aren't we?
Yeah. Anything else you want to plug or say, Andrea, before we go?
Do you know our shop? We have a This Girl Is On Fire shop. We've got t-shirts, sweatshirts, cards, pictures, all kinds of stuff. It's all done with tongue firmly in cheek.
Excellent. Can I buy a mug with your face on?
No, I've
then you've missed a
now.
Trick because that's what I want.
Is it? Should I do that?
Yeah.
What, like the royals?
Yes.
You want me to be like a royal so
that's
you
not
can
what I said.
Put my head on a stick?
That's not what I said.
You need like, you know, the colour changing one. So if you put in hot tea, you're like, I'm so fucking hot.
That's so good.
You
She's
are
very,
very welcome.
Oh, we need... We'll look into that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? And the face is like really smiley and then it goes,
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
15%, please. Okay. Remember, it's all recorded. That's
good. I like that very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You're so welcome. Until next time, listeners.
Bye-bye.
We got bought one because I never wanted one because I find it a bit weird that I just think it's listening all the time. Where's that
like
going?
That.
I don't like it. So we've put it in. We basically hang out in the kitchen more, but in the living room where the kids are, we put it in there because we thought one would be quite interesting to snoop on them. And we were going to play a trick on Finn. Do you remember? Finn's my 17-year-old son, and he's really into horror movies. And it was around the time of Halloween, and we were trying to figure out if we could remotely switch on Alexa to play the Halloween theme music in the background while he was quietly sitting in the living room. Or if we could get Alexa just
Halloween
to speak.
Theme. Okay. Daniel Davis on Amazon Music.
Ah! Oh my God, we're all going to die. Andrew McLean's going to murder us. This is what happened to Jay McDonald. Oh, God.
Oh, my God, your husband's ringing.
Ah! What do you want? I'm doing a podcast with Andrea McLean and Alexa Stone playing the Halloween theme and now I think we're all going to die. Hello?
That's brilliant.
You know, of course you forgot. I'm recording. I'm very unprofessional. What do you want? Hurry up, because the Halloween theme is freaking me out. We need to turn it off. What do you want? Wednesday morning. Yep.
This is like the funky
version. Yeah, yeah, this is good.
This is like the dance.
Oh, great. Okay, congratulations. Can I go now? Okay, love you. Bye. It's nothing important. He's got a job interview.
Okay. All right. Alexa, stop. please. She doesn't listen to me. This is the thing. It's like she'll listen to Will and then I'll say something and she'll just ignore
it's him. Like Alexa.
Wait, are you talking about me or Alexa?
Oh, both.
We need to switch it off.
Yeah, I think we better. This is I think you've had your go.
No, she's a professional broadcaster. I'm not gonna, yeah, you know.
There we go.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.